Take your Bibles now, if you will, remain standing, go to the book of Ecclesiastes. First chapter of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, we'll read verses 9 through verse number 18, all the way through the end of the chapter this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 9. I'll read verse 9, you'll join me on verse number 10. We'll do that all the way through verse number 18. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 9, the Bible says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, See, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us? There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I have come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had a great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. It's been wonderful to be in your house, Lord. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you that we don't rely on another man's wisdom. We don't rely on another man's experiences. But Lord, we've got your word. Yes. Lord, thank you for a man of God that preaches from your word. Lord, this evening, would you bless that? Lord, as he preaches your word, Lord, may we be yielded to hear what has been prepared, Lord, for us this evening. Lord, we need you desperately, especially today. Lord, something from you tonight, Lord, will get us through this week so we can be a blessing and help somebody else. Lord, we ask, as we yield ourselves to you, that you speak to us, encourage us, and strengthen us. We'll give you all the glory and honor that takes place here this evening. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Solomon is a very interesting person in the Bible to me. He was the son of King David, and he was the son of Bathsheba. That is the same Bathsheba that David had an adulterous relationship with, and the first child died because David had murdered Bathsheba's husband. Solomon was not David's oldest son, but through Bathsheba, there was a promise made that Solomon would take the throne. It was against what had been set up, but it was the way that it was supposed to be. Solomon did become king after David. Now, if you read in the book of, I believe it is 2 Samuel, starting in the first chapters, the death of David, you'll find out that Adonijah, one of David's older sons, initially took the throne, and Solomon just kind of stayed in the back and kind of took over from the backside, and eventually Solomon takes the throne. Solomon was a fine young man. He truly loved God. Matter of fact, if you look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and again later in the book, Solomon is the only person in the Bible that God called preacher as a proper noun. If you noticed in verse number 12, it said, "I, the preacher, was king of Israel." Go back to verse number 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. God called him preacher. Notice it's a capital P. Much like many of you would call me pastor or preacher. It was a term of endearment by God to Solomon. Right. Now, God came to Solomon one night after he had become king. And he said, "Solomon, I'll give you one request. Whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. Solomon thought for a moment and he said, God, give me wisdom to lead your people. God said, Solomon, because you didn't ask me for riches and you didn't ask me for fame, he said, I'll give you wisdom in abundance above all that anybody has ever had or will have, and I'll give you riches and honor that go with it. God blessed him. Let me pivot by saying this. Solomon's greatest gift may have been his worst enemy. Solomon's greatest gift may have been his worst enemy. He was so wise that he thought at times he was immune to failure or falling. As he grew older, he didn't view life the way he did as he did when he was younger. He saw the successes, but he failed to see the failures. It seemed like everything that Solomon did succeeded, so why would it harm if he fudged a little here or fudged a little there? I'm still being blessed beyond anybody else. His success, his prosperity, his good fortune, his coming out on top all the time actually hurt his own vision of himself. He was unable to see that he wasn't seeing himself right. About 15, 16 years ago, I was an assistant pastor. I would do the Bible reading, much like Brother Josh does for our service. But I started slaughtering the words on a regular basis. It was starting to bother me. And my pastor said, you need to go get your eyes checked. I said, no, I don't. I'm 37 years old. I don't need to get my eyes checked. He said, you're slaughtering words. He said, go get your eyes checked. I said, I don't need them checked. I can see just fine, thank you. He said, just humor me. I'll pay for it. Go get your eyes checked. So I went and got my eyes checked. He's paying for it. Might as well do it, right? I came back with a prescription for glasses. I thought I was seeing right. But I didn't know I wasn't seeing correctly. Just because I had to hold it a little farther away to see it, you know, eventually you get old enough, your arms aren't long enough, you know. Hold it up over there for me. You know, I did not think I needed glasses. But someone else who could see what I could not see said, you need glasses. You know, we're not always good, bless you, at judging clearly how we see things in our own personal life. In spite of it looking clear to us, it's much the same as our health. You think you're strong and healthy, and everybody else says, you sure you're okay? Yeah, I'm fine. You know, we don't view our own health like we should, men especially. It's okay for a woman to go to the doctor, but you men, you know, you're afraid to go to the doctor because you might find something might hurt or something. You don't want to know, amen, Brother Harry? Almost dead. Yeah, you need to go to the doctor, you know, and have five-way bypass surgery and don't get out of that bed. So, you know, much of the same is true about our health, our attitude. Teenagers, listen to me. Sometimes you don't see how bad your attitude is. May I say this? Adults, sometimes we don't see how bad our attitude is. Ouch. Well, it sounded fine to me. That's the problem. We don't always see our personality as being abrasive at times. We think we're sincere. We think we lovingly said something and somebody's over in the corner crying and you say, well, just tough it out. It's okay. Rub dirt on it. Here we go. We don't see ourselves as others see us. Now, Solomon, like all of us, did not have a good view of his own life or situation. Because he was wise, because he was wealthy, because he was well known, He felt he could do things that would not hurt him. Listen to this. And he didn't see how badly it affected him. And it didn't affect him at first. But over a period of years, he collected 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now that's not wise. 1,000 mother-in-laws. Flat out stupid, if you ask me. Now, many of these wives were not even saved people. They worshiped false gods. Now, wait a minute. Here's the wisest man in the world. But he started fudging on his appetite for ladies. Now, watch this. Many of these wives worshiped false gods, false religions. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Kings, and we won't take time to turn there, I think it's chapter 18, but I might get to it later here. But you find out at the end of Solomon's life, the Bible says that his wives turned his heart against the Lord his God. All those years and all those women, eventually, they turned his heart away from God. Oh, it was just this one. Then it was just that one, and then that one, then that one, then that one, and then it was 700 and 300 substitutes. Why in the world you need that, I don't know. One wife is more than plenty for any man. Now listen to me. I know no woman wants more than one man, that's for sure. Like all of us, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, could not see himself as clearly as he thought he could. As wise as he was with everyone else, he did not use that wisdom on himself. You see, we are all sinners. As Christians, you're a sinner. As a Christian, I am a sinner. You don't stop sinning the day you become a Christian. Matter of fact, you don't stop sinning until the day you die. You have an old nature and a new nature. The new nature is added to the old nature, but your old nature doesn't go away. Everybody doing okay? That means this, because we're sinners, we don't always see ourselves as spiritually as we think we are. We want to believe ourselves to be more spiritually intellectual, spiritually strong. Oh, I can do this and it'll be okay. I can miss church and go do this. It's only going to be once. That's like the drunk saying, I can go to the bar, but I'll drink Pepsi. And he may the first time, but after 100 times, he's not going to. You see, just like I needed help with those 15 years ago. Boy, you look better without my glasses on. I can't see anybody. Everything's fuzzy. Just like I needed help 15 years ago with my physical eyes, we need help seeing ourselves and seeing our spirituality in a different way. Your preacher listens to preaching. Why? Because I need preached too. Now, I preach to myself, but I listen to all the old timers preach a snot out of me regularly. Brother Fugit will be here. I'll listen to him preach. You'll see me respond. If I go somewhere and I'm not preaching, I listen to preaching and I respond to the preaching. And usually if I'm away from here, it's because I'm preaching somewhere. It's not because I'm just listening. But we need to understand we need help, just like Solomon should have gotten help. Seeing himself, he had an eye problem. Not just this one, but it was the capital letter I, me. So let me give you three or four thoughts here and I'll be done. Number one, We need to regularly look through others' eyes at our ways. We need to look through others' eyes at our own ways. Do you know that Solomon, after he became more and more successful, quit asking God and just started doing? He didn't start looking and saying, God, what should I and how would you? He just said, well, I've been through this, let's do this. You as a parent know what I'm talking about. If you've had one child, it's all new. By the third one, you know, you bring that first one home, you know, you're up every 3 hours, you're heating the bottles and nursing the kids, and then you're patting them a certain way and letting them barf down your shoulder and then wrapping them up and doing this, and you know, you're making sure everything is just so. By the time the third one comes along, you put the bottle in the microwave before you go to bed, wake up 3 hours later, hit the button, go out, get it, roll the towel up, shove it in the kid's mouth, and go back to bed. You know how that thing works. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That's why usually the last one's usually the worst. Got all the leftovers. You know, Solomon didn't work at matching his living to the Bible. He just relied on what he already knew. Solomon thought he was okay. I'm okay. God gave me wisdom. I have this gift. And he did. But he didn't keep it in line like he should have. The Bible says wise people don't always do wise. You can be wise and do something stupid. God knows, don't raise your hand, how many of you have ever done something stupid? Haven't we all, except for Arlene? You know, wise people learn that their view is not the only view, and it's not always the best view. I believe God's given me a certain amount of wisdom. But guess what? It's not all wisdom. And just because it's not all wisdom, I might not always be right. I know that surprises you, but it doesn't me. I was in Maine last week and helping some pastors up there in different churches and different things. And one of the pastors asked me a question. I said, well, where I'm at, we do this, but I don't suggest you doing that here in Maine. He said, why, preacher? I said, y'all don't understand things like us West Virginians do about that. He said, that's a good point. I said, it's not that it's right for me and wrong for you, but your people wouldn't understand some of the things my folks understand. So I don't think that that's the way I would do it here. I think I would do this if I were in your spot right now, right here. Well, that makes sense. I said, good. I didn't tell him to change anything. It was just a slight difference in how to approach something. So, wise people don't always have the corner market on how everything should be done. Do you know that I still ask for advice? When it comes to mechanical things, don't ask my help. You don't want it. Right, Pop? 1-800-MEL-BUSH, not me, all right? It's not 1-800-PREACHER, it's 1-800-MEL-BUSH. Say why? Because he can fix anything that's a machine. If it's been put together by man, he can fix it. Now, you give me the life, I'll work on the life. He can work on the stupid machine. Those cotton-picking things drive me insane. My brother and I, he was in town for a few days, and we were talking, and I said, I think that gene skipped me. I said, up here, I know what needs done, but by the time it gets there, it's gone. I said, I build dog houses dogs won't even go into. I did. I built a dog house for my dog, and it wouldn't spend one moment in that stupid thing. I put a roof on it and everything. Last thing I ever built, forget that thing. You remember that old stupid thing? Yeah. I mean, That poor dog, he wouldn't spend 1 second in that thing. 100 degrees out, he's out laying in the yard. Get in the studio. Raining, he'd stand out in the rain, wouldn't get in. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, just because I may be wise in an area or two or three or four doesn't mean I'm wise in all areas. Sometimes my wisdom is go see so-and-so. Go see that person. Go ask their opinion. Say why? Because they're better at it than I am. not gonna lie. Wise people adjust their personality or their attitude or their behavior, but they don't adjust truth or doctrine. Let me say that again. We can adjust our behavior, we can adjust our attitude, we can adjust our personality, but we are not to adjust truth. I'm not going to change that book for anybody. Sunrise in the east, sets in the west. Jesus saves by grace through faith alone. Like it or lump it, that's not changing. I am not about to change the doctrines of God's word. But if my personality needs fixed, I'll work on it. I think we're very unwise when we say, well, that's just how I am. I'm not changing. Oh, your pride's so deep, you're rebelling. Well, I've just always been. Oh, I don't care how you've always been. You can change how you've always been. Let me share something with you. Do you know that I even listen to my critics? I learned a long time ago, Brother Sam, my critics have a shred of truth in all the criticism they give me. So I'll look for the shred of truth. And I'll work on it. Recently I had somebody, criticize might be a little strong. But got a little disgruntled and got a little negative. But I took a couple things they said to heart, and I've worked on it, and I've been fixing them. You say, why? Because if somebody sees me that way, then maybe it is something I need to work on. I'm not changing what I preach. I'm not changing the doctrines of the Bible, but I can change my personality. I can change how a few things are done, maybe, but I'm not going to change truth. I can work on me as a person, because if it's abrasive to this person or that person, maybe I need to work on it. Now, there are some people in life, you're not going to please them no matter what you do. I get that. But I try to take at least something that somebody that's critical or negative of me says, and I begin to work on it. Not you. You're ready to declare war and just blow everybody up with an H-bomb. You know, I listen to my wife. Say, why? Because I got to live with her. I mean, you know, I'm not afraid of listening to my wife. I'm a strong enough man, I can handle her opinion. By the way, there's times I'm glad I do because I'm colorblind. And she'll say, honey. And I'll say, what? That doesn't go together. All right, then go pick something that will. I don't get mad. Now, to me, look just fine, Brother Steve. My eyes don't see what everybody else's eyes see when it comes to color, though. You know, I don't have granimal tags on everything like, you know, they used to have. I try to memorize what goes with what, but when I get two shirts that are two different colors, but they look the same to me, and then I get the wrong tie with them, she gets a little upset with me. She'll say, honey, well, look, I thought it was, no, it's not. Okay, then let's go fix it. I'm glad I listened to her. I showed up to soul winning one day. Brother Mike, you'll love this. One of the men walked up to me and said, preacher, can I talk to you? Yeah, hurry up. I got 2 minutes before the meeting. He said, look down. I looked down. I said, what? He said, you got two different color boots on. Well, I had the right boot from one pair of boots on one foot and the left pair from the other pair on the other foot. Oops. Shazam. That's what you get for dressing in the dark, amen? Now, wait a minute. I'm glad I'm not so big that I can't listen to people. If my wife says, honey, you think you ought to be that hard? Sometimes I'll say yes. Sometimes I'll listen to what she says. Maybe I shouldn't be. I'll say it's a reason I shouldn't be. I don't take it as a personal challenge to my manhood. I take it from a very wise lady who has listened to preaching her whole life, been around the things of God, the work of God, as long as I have. You say, why? Because we work together well as a team. I listen to those who love me and work with me. My son is my assistant pastor, but there's times he leads me. It's his area of work. Did you everybody hear that? Some of these projects out here, I'll say, go ask Brother Josh. He's in control. Go see what Brother Josh said. It's his. I just asked him tonight before we walked out. I said, here in a few days, we're going to talk about thus and so. And I said, I'm going to need your help with this. And I'm going to let him help me fix a few things that need fixed and change a few things that need changed. Nothing major in the ministry or anything like that. But say, why? Because he's strong in that area where I'm weak. Why wouldn't I? If Mrs. Barnes comes to me and says, preacher, we're doing this, but if we change it and we go this way with it, it'll take a lot less time. It'll be a little easier. I'll say, as long as you understand it, we'll sit there and haggle it out and we'll fix it. I'm not so big I can't do that. I call that wisdom, don't you? But some people take that as a personal challenge. I knew an assistant pastor one time with whom I worked who felt like somebody was disloyal because they were disagreed with. They said, that person's being disloyal. I said, what did they do? Well, they disagreed with me. I said, well, I agree with them and I disagree with you. I said, you have a skewed sense of loyalty. I said, who made you God? I said, show me your book of the Bible that you wrote. By the way, they're not even in the ministry anymore. Wonder why. Couldn't take any criticism at all. Couldn't take any help at all. It was a threat to them. I can change my disposition and stay right, but I'm not going to change my position. If my disposition bothers you, I'll work on it. If my position bothers you, tough. Just the way it's going to be. We're not changing the King James Bible. We're not changing salvation by grace. We're not changing the doctrines of the Word of God. I'm not changing that, like it or lump it. But if my personality needs fixed, I'll work on it. Just as I needed glasses to see more clearly, and I needed help from, let me rephrase that, need help from time to time, seeing color. I often need other people's view of my life to clarify my selfish vision of myself. We're so full of pride that we're afraid to ask for help. And when it's offered, we take it as an attack. Solomon thought he was good enough. Solomon believed his own success was good enough to keep him okay. And Solomon did not see his own foolishness because he thought he was wiser than everybody else and that he wouldn't make a mistake. I hate to tell you, wisdom is not one and done. It's constant. About 5:30 this morning, I'd been here for a while, and I walked through this building room by room, begging God to help our workers today and our kids and the Sunday school teachers and junior church and up and down these rows, praying for folks that would be here this morning and tonight, asking God and begging God to give you what you need, not for my sake, but for your sake. I need to do that more, not less. So, number one, we need to regularly look through others' eyes to see our own ways. Number two, and I'll hurry with these next two points here, your vision gets fuzzy with age, so can your wisdom. Your vision gets fuzzy with age, so can your wisdom. The older you get, the more you know. And the more you know, listen to this, the harder it is to yield to God. Been there, done that, I know what to do. Maybe you don't. Maybe we just need to stay yielded. let's bring it down to where we live here. The answer may be the same, but how it's given needs wisdom every time so that it's received well.
Well, when I was a kid, Dad just whacked me upside the head and I got all the wisdom I needed.
Yeah, and you do that these days and you got to be careful. Yeah. You might not have your kids. Now, I'm not saying that paddling a child is the wrong thing to do, because I believe scripturally it should be done, but there's a difference in paddling and beating somebody. Abuse is abuse. I don't care who does it. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. Just because, well, look how I turned out. That's what I'm talking about. Being right, but destroying the people by being right, does nothing to help the situation. Did you hear that? Being right, but destroying everybody to prove you're right, doesn't do anything for the situation. If you have to destroy everybody to prove you're right, what good was it? The older I get, the more I need the Holy Spirit to help me know how to help people accept what the truth is. Folks, I've been preaching for 40 years. Don't you think I get a little bit tired and frustrated at people that don't listen to what's said? You know, you go home and look how little somebody listens to you. You ought to multiply that by the size of a church. And then they call you, I got a mess. Yeah, get yourself out, ding-a-ling. No, that's what sometimes you want to think. I just preached on that. Yeah, I think those thoughts, but it doesn't mean it comes out here. Everybody doing all right? You say, preacher, you think those thoughts? Talk to God about it. The older I get, the more I need the Holy Spirit to help me know how to find and feed people so they'll accept it. Did you know this generation needs something different than the last two generations? Forty years ago, if I'd ever got up and had to preach against sodomites, I wouldn't have called them sodomites. We called them other things. It's the only word I can use in the pulpit that's legally acceptable. 40 years ago, if there would have been one in your church, everybody would have taken them out back and taken care of the situation. Now it doesn't work that way. Oh, you're mean. I didn't say it was right or wrong. What I'm saying is that's how much things have changed in 40 years. Brother Mike, I'd never thought I would ever talk about young people and sex from the pulpit. That word was never used when I was a kid. That was voodoo. Now it's the only word that they understand. Everybody doing all right? So, I'm not going to change the truth, but sometimes its dosage needs adjusted. If you go to the doctor and they give you a prescription for penicillin, they don't give you 3 million milligrams of it and you take it in one time and you're done. You know, swallow an elephant pill, whoop, and you're done. No, they give it to you. You got to take this 2 pills 3 times a day, and then you got to take it for X number of days that way, and then 1 pill 3 times a day, 1 pill 2 times a day, 1 pill 1 time a day, and then you're done. What they do is you're going to take that full amount, but your body can't handle it all at one time, so you've got to break it up into smaller dosages. And there are times wisdom says you're not ready for the whole thing, let's split it up into smaller doses. Sometimes people need liquid because they can't swallow the pill. How many of you struggle swallowing pills? All right? Yeah, there's half a dozen of you. Now, swallowing pills doesn't mean nothing to me. I can take 10 pills, throw them in my mouth, one mouthful of water, and they're down. My wife looks at me and says, you know, she's got to take them one at a time. I'm thinking, man, you know, Miss Wally takes about 3,000 pills in the evening, and she drinks a whole glass of water to take about 10 pills. God bless her. She gets them down. Now me, pop them puppies in one shot, and it's done. I can do that. Not everybody can do that. When I was a teenager, young adult, I could drink a whole can or bottle of pop without stopping. I'd open up that thing in the back of my throat and just pour the whole thing down. I mean, nonstop. I mean, the whole thing just... I can do that with a bottle of water to this day. Just pop her open and open up the throat and let her pour. You just... down in here, it's great. Pay me enough money, I'll show you after church. No. you know, sometimes... you need a capsule instead of a pill. There are some things that's the same stuff, but if in capsule form, it does better for you than a pill form. You know, that's learning how to adjust the same stuff. Why do you think they make aspirins that are in tablets and capsules? Because some people, that doesn't work as well as the capsule does. Boy, there's so many things out there. As you get older, you tend to rely on what worked once. Did you know what worked 30 years ago doesn't necessarily work today? If you doubt it, when you get up tomorrow, call me. If it don't hurt, it don't work. Amen? You know, just because you learned a truth once doesn't mean you have all knowledge. You need more Bible. You need more preaching. You need more advice. I'll never forget the advice of a dear old saint of God preacher that I knew when I was in Bible college, Dr. Carl Laurent. He was rough as a dried out corn cob. I'm not kidding. He was rough. I was a freshman in college and he said, "You got a car?" I said, "I do." He said, "I'll get you permission. I need to go preach in Michigan. Will you drive me?" I said, "I will." He said, "Will your parents give you permission?" I said, "They will." I got permission. I drove him to Michigan, stayed in the room with him. I was scared to death. I mean, I was scared to death. We're driving around towards Michigan in my little 1980 Escort, four-speed, you know. Cold as all get out outside in the winter. He'd say, "Brother Craig, yes, sir. You think God gives a wise counselor the answer to the questions you need?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Huh. I guess you never have to make a bad decision if you always seek advice." Man, that was 35 years ago. I've never forgotten that, Brother Mike. I never have to make a bad decision if I just seek advice. Solomon trusted himself, a sinner. And all the good decisions he had made and had already been making, and decided he could advise himself and he would be okay. 700 wives, 300 concubines, and many of them worship false gods. As we get older, we have to adjust and realize few people know what we do, and they need time and dosages. They don't need the whole lump shoved down their throat in one shot. I know a few things, but it doesn't mean I'm going to dump the whole truck in one load. I have to be more patient the older I get. I have to realize society has changed. Have you noticed? Snowflake society. And people aren't of the character they used to be. Some of you, if you would have heard Dr. Lester Roloff, you'd roll over in your grave before you die. You think he was rough. You ought to have heard J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris in the 19-teens and 1920s took on the mob, the government, and the Southern Baptist Convention at the same time. He got in some guy's grill one day and said, "God's going to kill you in the next 7 days if you don't change your ways." Three or four days later, guy was in a car accident, drunken accident, and his brains were splattered all over the street right out in front of the church. And he went out, scraped him up and put him in a bottle, brought him to church Sunday morning, set him in a jar on top of the pulpit and preached with that man's brains on the pulpit. And y'all think I'm rough? Rough.
J. Frank Norris shot a guy in self-defense and killed him in his office. Guy was coming to kill him, and he drew first. He was a tough dude, let me tell you. How'd you like that on your conscience? He just kept on plodding. And you all think I'm hard. Listen very carefully here. I have to realize people are broken and not rebellious. Very few people are rebellious. Most are broken. I believe very few people are rebellious. But I believe many are broken, hurt, bitter. They need love. They need truth. They need training. They need patience. They need time. Solomon did not see how he violated his own wisdom. By the way, we don't often see how our lives violate other people because we're not looking at it the way they do. Number three, and I'll finish very quickly. I'll try to. The older we get, the more we need the Holy Spirit to see how all of life changes. Those of you that are snow white hair or no hair that should have been there. We humans tend to think that what worked first or what was will always work. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says this. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Oh, it used to be much better. Well, folks, you can go to an outhouse all you want, but I like indoor plumbing. You can sweat in the summer with no air conditioner, but I thank God for the air conditioner in my house and my car. Yeah. Gives Brother Scott a job and pays tithes, so use your air conditioner. We're not supposed to live life looking in the rearview mirror. Living life looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash in the present. I'm not saying don't glance back from time to time for perspective. But if you drive down Route 9 looking at nothing but your rearview mirror, do me a favor, make sure I'm not on the road at the time, because you are going to crash. Then why would you live your life doing nothing but looking backwards? Well, I wish we used to be this way. I wish it was like that again. Do you really? You see, don't refuse to live now and complain that it's not what it used to be. You can't change that. Bless God, this generation just doesn't have any character. When I was a kid, we worked on the farm before we got breakfast, and then we went to school, and we walked 3 miles to school and 4 miles home. Then we walked uphill both ways. Then I had chores. Bless God. Okay, but where are you going to find that kind of work in everyday life in today's society? Don't complain about the character level when the same work quality is not available. You have to, we have to adjust to what is. I don't expect everyone to do things or to see things as I do. You're not me. Right and wrong is based on the Bible and does not change. How we do it with or without a computer matters not to me. Brother Josh likes computer stuff. Mrs. Barnes likes computer stuff. I don't have one. Matter of fact, when I'm around, hers breaks. I leave, she can get it working. We have computer demons that follow me everywhere I go. You know, it's not time to whine and complain about what was that is no longer. It's time to change what is with the truth and keep it from getting worse. Folks, we can't control the election, but we can cast the right vote. And our candidate probably will win the election, but there's going to be a lot of controversy between now and January 20th. But may I say this, 2024 is coming too.
We can't let up just if we win this one. We got to vote out a lot of people. You say, who is that preacher? See me afterwards. Solomon is an old man in 2 Kings chapter 11. He has 700 wives and 300 concubines. Here is the wisest man who ever lived. And in Ecclesiastes 1, we read, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I had this, 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 I had all these things, but all is vanity and vexation of spirit because I blew it and my wives turned my heart against God. Had all the wealth, had all the power, had all the wisdom available to a human being, and yet he did not view himself as he should. Solomon needed his eyes fixed. He was not seeing himself as clearly as he needed. He did not listen to those closest to him. And if you remember, when he was taking the throne, he said, should I be like David, my father, or should I make it harder? And he decided to make it harder on the people, and he taxed the people worse than David, his father. He faces the end of his life full of regrets. And he looks back at the mistakes. Say, why? Because he needed his eyes checked. How about we check our eyes? How we view ourselves? How about we humble out and ask from time to time what needs changed or fixed? I'm not afraid to ask. There's times I get done with a sermon and I'll ask my wife, was it too hard? Did my attitude come through the wrong way? She'll say, don't think so. Did you have a bad attitude? I said, I don't know. Did it come out like I had one? I'm serious. I'll ask my son questions like that, or even my secretary from time to time. Say, why? Because I got to keep myself in check. Let's keep our eyes in check. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Many of us could have an eye problem. We all could because we have an eye. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the place to do it. Nobody will laugh. This place where we want people to get saved. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon tonight, something I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. You may put them down.